Yeah, so we've got, I'm going to open up with a breaking news story that just got reported about 30 minutes ago. So in Ware State Prison, which is near Waycross, Georgia, which is kind of like southern Georgia, kind of close to Florida, there is a riot that broke out. Two guards were stabbed. There are reports of fires and gunshots. According to one officer, the incident is currently under control and the facility is currently on lockdown. Two members are receiving minor non-life-threatening injuries and no reported inmate injuries at the time. At this time, apparently some people calling themselves inmates posted Facebook live videos. In one of the videos, showed one inmate covered in blood. Two of inmates helped him clean what appeared to be a wound and carried him out of his cell. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution couldn't immediately confirm the authenticity of the videos. Another video showed inmates walking around freely with no guards in sight. The man filming said he wanted his family to know he loved them just in case anything happened. 2 weeks ago, a Ware State inmate was killed in what authorities said was an altercation with another inmate. Multiple inmates at the prison have recently told this news source that tensions were running high due to COVID. Two people were incarcerated at the prison who have died of COVID, while 22 inmates and 32 employees have tested positive. And this seems like a pretty big prison. I don't actually know prison sizes all too well, but there are eight. It houses male
eight
felons.
Does seem like a lot.
Yeah, eight housing units with 50 double cells each and holds just over 1,500 when at capacity. So this is a breaking story that I just stumbled across as we're just like a couple minutes as we're going live and recording. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm interested to see if any more details pop up about the other altercation or whatever. Yeah. So anyways, there's fucking riots and shit burning everywhere.
Well, I mean, if there was a time like for prisons to riot, it's when you clear, like, we're not even getting good care outside of prison and we're free people. So imagine being in a prison where you have no rights. Most of the time, prison guards are pretty rough on even the most, like, non-violent offenders. The most, like, the ones that, you know, aren't exactly the stereotypical movie tough guy. And we've known that COVID has been spreading in prisons. Like, it's been broken out. It's broken out in several states and in federal prisons and state prisons where, like, a high amount of the population is getting COVID. And funny enough, that story just kind of died. Like, we were talking about it, and then we weren't. Because if you think about it, in prisons, they usually, like, there is no social distancing in, like, showers and sometimes in your cells and like, anything. There's no social distancing there. And it's just weird that we just kind of quit talking about that.
Yeah, and the only time we did really talk about it in recent weeks is when some, I forget who they were. They're people connected with Trump or whatever. Or people involved with the Epstein case, I think, and they got moved to, you know, better facility or something.
But, oh, yeah, the rich, or, like, Cohen got the fuck out of jail. Roger Stone got his sentence commuted. Multiple people connected with Trump. I believe Manafort, I can't recall if Manafort got out or not, but I remember him trying. So it's just like, it's like, it's the typical, you know, justice system that, you know, the rich are able to get out while, like, the poor and the minorities, no, they're left in there to fucking rot and, you know, get COVID. And I'm sure conservatives' arguments will be just like, blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess they shouldn't have committed crimes, just like everything else, and they won't care.
Maybe if you just stop doing crimes.
Maybe if you would just quit doing crimes and quit blaming the societal issues and the structural racism and the rigged economy and all the other bullshit, the waiting for breadcrumbs every couple of years when shit gets so fucking bad. Maybe if you would just hold off on that, you wouldn't be in prison getting COVID right now.
Yep, just maybe, but... personal accountability and shit. All those good memes. So, yeah, while we're talking about COVID, we are at just over 154,000 deaths in America with 4.6 million cases, which I actually closed it, but I will pull it back up. It totally dwarfs the rates of any other country.
Yeah.
By twofold. Yeah, so by twofold, pretty much. USA is at, 4.7. And Brazil is at 2.7. That's second place. India is 1.7 million. And India is way more fucking populated than almost any other country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're doing shit wrong here, obviously, as we've kind of talked about over and over. And so with this big push to reopen schools by, Republicans and the Trump administration, surprise, surprise, something else went wrong. Greenfield Central Junior High School in Indiana, which was one of the first schools to start reopening. It wasn't the first, but one of the first set of school districts to start reopening in the U.S., had to close within hours of opening after they discovered that a student tested positive with COVID, and he had already visited multiple classrooms.
Oh, Jesus
so Christ. It only took a couple hours for all the students to go back into quarantine.
Yeah, and I read also... in a Tennessee town, the same thing happened 2 days in. A student tested positive for COVID, yeah. And then they're already having to sanitize everything, quarantine people. It's a mess, and we're still sending people out. But just so you know, Barron Trump's school is doing virtual learning. Today. I read that today. Of course, the rich school with the president's son is doing virtual learning, but everybody else be damned.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as the rich are taken care of, that's all that really matters. But at the same time, people are still trying to pretend that this shit doesn't exist, and there's a big narrative that we kind of talked about before among conservatives that... Well, kids, especially younger kids, are, more immune to it or whatever. Well, surprise, they're not. They're actually, seems like they're more susceptible, actually, than the middle-aged groups. There was a new report of a summer camp that took place in northern Georgia where... almost 600 campers and staff members were there. There are 597 to be exact. And of the 597, about 44% tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
The age breakdown was there were 100 between 6 and 10 years old. There were 409 between 11 and 17.
Fucking numbers.
It is a lot of numbers. So most of them were between 11 and 17. So
yeah, I'm just mean that's just ridiculously high. Ridiculously. Who the fuck thought it was a good idea to do a fucking summer camp while there's a fucking pandemic? I know that parents want to get rid of their fucking kids just to have a little bit of a break, but it's just negligent at this point to fucking send your kids to a summer camp. And I think it's negligent to send your kids willingly back to school. I understand that some people may not have a choice, and I sympathize with them. I really fucking do. But if you have a choice and you can figure out out a way. This is a fucking death march to me. It's a death march, and that's what's so fucking terrifying about it. And it's just like, this is just a primer, like summer camps are primer. We're about to send millions of fucking children back to school in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and apparently ignoring the fact that this virus is actually a real thing and that there's no fucking vaccine about it. I just want to emphasize like the numbers, it just so people get the point that like kids are not immune to this shit. So the attack rate with the 6 to 10 year old group, it was 51%. The attack rate between ages 11 to 17 was 44%, 18 to 21 was 33%, and then there were only 7 people who were older, so we can't really say anything statistically significant about that. So, listen, you know, 50% of younger kids and 45-ish% of teenagers are still susceptible, at least, you know, in close proximity with, like, a summer camp.
Yeah,
it's insane. And another issue is that, oh, let's see, 26% of the positives were asymptomatic. So there's a, you know, people have been guessing there's like a 50%, somewhere between like a 25 and 50% asymptomatic rate for a while now. But here's another data point that's 26%. So, you know, it sucks that everyone's like trapped in the house, but goddamn, don't send your kids back to fucking school yet. It's not safe. There's no vaccine yet. In fact, I didn't put this on the list. There's a company who is starting to mass produce, like, I think hundreds of millions of
untested vaccine.
Made it past clinical trials yet.
Hey, like, so, if we were going to kick off the zombie apocalypse, this is how we do it. I watched I Am Legend. That's how this shit plays out. Oh, we have the super cure. Oh, boom. Next thing you know, fucking, we're in even a worse dystopia than we're already in. So, no, and the fact that that is, like, going through and, like, that's getting any kind of traction is fucking terrifying. It shows how desperate we are to like try to cobble together the economies of the world and get back to normal, that we're just like, you know what, 100 million untested vaccines seem like a fucking good idea.
Yeah, let's just go with a gamble and see what works and what doesn't. If people, a couple more people die, then fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
It's only another 1% of the population that, you know, didn't have the good enough genes to make our makeshift ethnostate at this point.
Yeah. Another interesting thing. Sorry, I didn't add it to the list either on COVID, but I saw that like there was 32 million people were added to food insecurity this week. That 32 million people went hungry this week. And also during the same week, billionaires added almost $40 billion to their wealth.
Of course. You know, gotta further that disparity even more. Not to mention whatever's going on with the evictions right now.
Yeah, and that's a looming apocalypse coming.
Yeah, it's gonna be, shit's gonna hit the fan real quick.
Yeah.
As if it hasn't already, but, you know. and then one more piece of COVID news. The FDA has been compiling a list for a little bit of about 100 different hand sanitizers that either have less than the required amount of ethyl alcohol to kill, you know, germs and shit, or they have methanol, which can fucking kill you if it's absorbed into your body in high enough. Like, so there's this list of 100, and we'll link it in the show notes. I will also link it in Dream chat, and I will send it to you too. It's Like, holy fuck. Yeah. So there's a bunch of check out. There's a search function on this on the FDA's website. And they keep adding more to it. So it's just, you know, people keep saying to use fucking hand sanitizers, which you should. But you can't really trust it. Some of these brands. So just make sure that whatever kind you're getting, there, I DM'd it to you. Just make sure whatever kind you're getting isn't on this fucking list. It's just more business profiteering, you know, people cutting corners to pump out some more products so they can get that nice government money that isn't going to good use at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's all I've got for COVID stuff. And then we'll cover a couple of various news pieces before we start talking about Trump and his great plan to cancel the election. We got some more news coming up about Garrett Foster, the protester who was shot in Texas, and then a couple other good stuff regarding Trump and Epstein and a couple other things. So this piece is a little weird to me. Two planes collided in Alaska, which left 7 dead, including Alaska State House Republican Representative Gard Knopp, who was piloting one of the aircraft. The other was a very experienced outdoorsman and pilot of about 40 years, who flew with a sightseeing company that, you know, they fly over the landscape to look at bears and shit, and wildlife and whatever. Here's the weird thing is the weather conditions were clear and sunny, no fog, with a 10-mile visibility. And these two planes just happened to crash into each other. No one can explain it. This is still under investigation. They haven't figured out what caused the crash, how people flew in.
Aliens.
You know, obviously. It has to be aliens.
You knew that was where I was going to go immediately.
I knew it. I did know it. I'm trying to stay a little grounded here, but, you know.
I can't help it. I just can't help it.
Although, alien, there is totally something up with aliens.
It's the endgame.
It is absolutely, it's as we covered it before, the Jews are plotting an alien attack. So just get ready for that. Prepare yourselves.
Oh, now that's a deep rabbit hole with the QAnon people. You might need to climb it back out.
I know.
Oh.
I probably should. I actually did a little bit. I didn't really check on Q.
It's so hard now with them banned.
They keep coming back.
They keep coming back. Of course they do. Counts,
man. They're just like, you'll figure out who I am if you know what to look for. Pepe Frog, LOL.
Yeah, random Pepe Frog or random lion with Trump's face. Yeah, we're really going to figure out who you are, you motherfucking schmuck.
Fucking snowflakes. So it's just fucking weird that this two planes just kind of crash into each other. And more so that, you know, there's a fucking politician on board, so who fucking knows. We'll see if anything comes from that investigation. And then there's a couple of issues in Germany that came out the last couple days, and they've got a far right wing issue. One of them was a plot that was uncovered called Day X. And it was about 30 Germans, including politicians, lawyers, doctors, and some military special forces. They were planning to abduct political enemies and other people who support immigrants and immigration policy, drive them to a secret location in some trucks, and then kill them. Several members had already purchased equipment ready to do this shit, including body bags and quicklime to dissolve the remains of the bodies. So this is, you know, of course, there's going to be fringe groups everywhere, but we're just, to me, this just kind of highlights how fascism is on the rise. It's just more proof. It's not just in the U.S. It's across the world, too. This is kind of a global thing. I mean, we saw that with the Christchurch shooting last year and numerous other occasions. Terrible fucking things. So it's very interesting that, you know, this continues to extend into military institutions and political institutions and other prestigious areas of society. There's a lot of far-right sympathy. It's not just your average, you know, essentially loser of society who, you know, our society doesn't give a fuck about the average populace. And these guys are on the leading end. They're like blue-collar workers and they're, you know, down and out and they're looking for someone to blame. It's not just these people. It's not just, you know, there's a lot of professional people who are into fascism. It's a fucking problem. And it's a problem because they have the resources to really start doing this shit, you know.
Yeah.
People can walk in the streets all they want talking about how they're going to shoot people if they tread on them or whatever, but then you've got actual elaborate plans where they're going to fucking disappear people, kind of like how they're trying to disappear people in the fucking streets with these protests. So we gotta fucking watch out for this shit and call it out, make as much fucking noise as possible. It's just not okay. This is fascism. Fascism's not cool, man. And then the other bit from Germany is the Day of Freedom. There's a lot of days.
I saw that when I first woke up.
It's great. Ridiculous. It's like they're trying to copy America. America's leading the way in all the worst ways.
Yeah. And they saw thousands of Germans protesting the economic shutdowns. None of them were wearing masks. Some had Q posters. And from what I understood, that there was various neo-Nazi groups marching alongside them. And so...
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of terrifying to think that another economic Western powerhouse is having the same uprising of the right that we are.
Yeah, especially in the country that, you know, of course, Adolf Hitler happened in fucking Germany. It's scary to see it happening in the same country again,
yeah.
You know, almost 100 years later.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we have our own person trying to be Hitler here. Trump earlier this week, after the day after we recorded the first episode of the week, you know, floated around the idea that maybe we should delay the election. One, he can't. Congress sets the date. It's federal law. The election happens, and that's that. His Republicans like Don Thune and other big prominent names were just like, no, we can't do that. No, I don't know what the president's thinking saying that. Even the Federalist Society, co-founder of the Federalist Society, said this is fascist. Like, if the Federalist Society is calling you a fascist because I think they're fascists, then you got a real fucking problem. I've thought of this many times of, like, how he could do a coup and take total power. And, like, I don't think it's as, you know, cut and dry as him delaying an election as it is just muddying the waters enough and sowing enough chaos where he can just stay in the White House even if Joe Biden is sworn in. And just have his MAGA trolls just be like, oh, he's the real president. President Biden is not the legitimate leader of America. Donald Trump is. And it's just like, that's the scary part of Trump to me. Is like, I don't think he could do a coup in the way people think he can, like the 30s and Hitler's rise. But there's enough that he can do to muddy the waters that would cause more chaos and lead to even more strife in this country. And I think even if Joe Biden wins, he doesn't go peacefully. I just don't. I don't think he, I don't think he accepts the results. I don't think he leaves the White House. I think he stays there. I think he uses the courts to file lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. Like, if we thought 2000 was any, like, indication of, like, the lawsuits being filed on behalf of the Gore and Bush campaign, and I was a kid, I barely remember that shit, but I read about it much later, and I see that happening again. I see him filing lawsuits, injunctions, and all sorts of crazy shit with whatever crazy judge he can get for to delay the inevitable if he loses.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm not too familiar with, like, what happens if a president refuses to leave office.
I don't think any of us know.
The only arguments I've heard is that, like, if he tries, then he just gets, like, escorted out.
Yeah. And I, you know, and so, like,
the coup would have to come in and he would have to pull that off. And, like, yeah, he would have to pull. I don't think
he can. I don't think he can either. I think he causes enough chaos and he doesn't leave the White House and just causes more strife in America. But I don't think that, like, a coup would happen, like how the Boogaloo Boys and, like, you know, every fucking militia in the country thinks that they would do it. But I see it as causing extra chaos. The one thing Nancy Pelosi said that I was just like, and I'm not a Pelosi fan by any means, was that, like, she'd just turn off, like, the shit there, that she just wouldn't provide funding to the White House because they have the power to do that. And I was like, well, that's actually, that's, like, the one plan that you have suggested that I'm just like, eh, that's not a bad idea. I just think the waters get really muddy, and that's that.
Yeah, it's getting muddy, and he's just paving the way for a future coup to potentially happen.
Yeah, for a future coup, yeah.
And just really quick, like, the big surface level reason that he's, like, trying to delay or cancel the election is because, well, it's not safe to go to the polls, so we need to protect the voters. These are the same people who have been attacking mail-in voting for months now, and yet they do mail-in voting because they can't be bothered to stand with the plebs and the fucking voting.
Exactly. Like, he's attacking mail-in voting when when half his administration voted by mail. Like, Kushner filed an absentee ballot. And by the way, like, he says mail-in voting, it's absentee ballots. They're the same fucking thing. And once again, it's just muddying the waters. It's muddying the waters. It's purposely picking the words to cause much confusion and, you know, throw red meat at his base. And on his base, there's not an exact confirmation of where this dude stood, but I think I have a pretty good idea, and I'll share why. Last Saturday, we reported that a protester in Austin was shot and killed. His name was Garrett Foster. You can go back to the episode from last Saturday and listen to it. But this week, we got confirmation of the person that shot him. And his name is Daniel Perry. He is a soldier from nearby Fort Hood. And this is where, like, we're starting to get a little complication is he's claiming self-defense, that he took a wrong turn and he was just trying to get through the protest safely when Foster aimed his AK-47 at him. Feeling unsafe, he shot Foster. But the problem with this is witnesses are contradicting the evidence, though, stating that Perry was accelerating his car in the first place and Foster had his gun pointed to the ground. Like, the dude was accelerating his fucking car, and Foster did not have the gun pointed at him, and he still shot him. And this is the statement that Perry's lawyer released. Sergeant Perry and his family deeply sympathize with the loss and grief being experienced by Mr. Foster's family. Sergeant Perry is devastated by what happened. I'm so fucking sure. Nevertheless, that does not change facts. According to the statement, the simple fact is that Sergeant Perry reasonably perceived a threat to his life We simply ask that anybody who might want to criticize Sergeant Perry's actions picture themselves trapped in a car as masked strangers raise an assault rifle in their direction and reflect upon what they might have done if faced with the split-second decision faced by Sergeant Perry that evening. Well, I have a simple fucking solution for that. If you see a big fucking group of people marching down a street, don't drive down it. If you're not seeking any kind of conflict, don't fucking drive down the street that has people walking in the middle of the fucking road. It's pretty fucking simple, in my opinion.
It is really easy. And you can easily drive around them, just avoid them.
Turn around!
A lot of these protests post their fucking schedules.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out. There's cop lights flashing everywhere. There's barricades and all other sorts of shit that they have to prepare for these marches. At least what I've seen every time I've gone out. And, like, even if I was in that situation and I was driving around, I'd be like, there's a lot of fucking people driving down the street. Marching down the street, sorry. I'd be like, I'm turning around. I'm not dealing with that. Now, while he is saying this, his tweets came, his tweets have started to surface. His account's gone. It's been scrubbed. Naturally, like, it's always scrubbed. But I'm going to read you some of the tweets that Sergeant Perry posted. My greatest fear is when the mobs attack an armed individual. Doesn't matter if the person is left or the person is right, and that deadly force is used, resulting in either extreme mass hysteria or the mob stopping. And this was a reply to Donald J. Trump, our president. Send them to Texas. We will show them why we don't mess with Texas. And then, another one. He's replying to Michael Savage, and I'm not even going to read the craziness that Michael Savage posted. But I will read Mr. Perry's response. I'm not even affected by stuff like that. I'm pretty sure that is a bad thing. If my moral compass does not even work anymore. He's already saying his moral compass doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And then the last one. Fuck that shit. You shoot center of mass. One, it is a bigger target. Two, it still drops them. Even if you shoot them in the leg, there's a major artery that will cause the person to bleed out in just minutes. So you want to tell me that Sergeant Daniel Perry just accidentally pulled onto that street with a Black Lives Matter protest and just accidentally, you know, got close to protesters with guns and just accidentally just panicked and shot somebody in the chest? It's just like, I don't believe it. And there's just too much things. Like, the tweets for me was, when I read the tweets, I was like, no, this is pretty much, I feel like it was premeditated. I felt like he went down there to cause problems.
Yeah. That's really what it seems like. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, is this Garrett Foster, wasn't this the same person who was pushing his paraplegic wife in a wheelchair?
Yes, his multi-amputee fiance.
How exactly is he a threat?
I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing that confuses me about all these things. Is like, I've heard he's pushing his. I've heard he's pushing his wife, and he's a former veteran himself. He's a former Air Force pilot. Air Force officer, and he retired early to take care of his fiance, who had to have multiple limbs amputated because of she was in a wheelchair. He was pushing his fiance in a wheelchair when Mr. Perry drove down that street and, you know, shot him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this to me is just like, holy fuck, I can't. You know, when conservatives and other right-wing people, independents and libertarians, whatever the fuck, they say they feel threatened by someone or something, they're not actually threatened, not for their physical safety anyways. So, you know, when Daniel Perry says he felt threatened by a man pushing his paraplegic wife or fiance during a protest, someone who's pushing someone else in a wheelchair is not going to be armed and ready.
Even if he had his gun on his chest, he's not ready to, you know, pull that up. And, like, my question about the driver, we're still a little murky, but, Sergeant Perry had his gun pretty well ready for driving down a, road having a mass protest.
Yeah, you can't just like pull that shit out on the fly. You have to get that ready. You have to think. This is absolutely premeditated.
Yeah.
You have to go through certain steps just to get ready to do some kind of shooting.
Yeah. Like, I think he pulled in there and he shot somebody. I don't even necessarily think he was aiming for Derek Foster per se. I don't think it was anything like that. But I think he went down there looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went down there looking for somebody that looked aggressive, that he could, like, I can tag this person and probably get away with it.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Yep. We'll see. He has that thin veil of justification
because
he had an AK, so he'll probably get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I don't have anything else to add to that.
Yeah, it's a fucked up story. Well, Trump banned TikTok right when I was finally getting into TikTok. Kidding, I was never into TikTok. I don't trust it. But apparently Microsoft wanted to, you know, buy TikTok from the parent company, ByteDance, which there's all sorts of people that have said that, you know, security analysts as well as intelligence that ByteDance is connected to the Chinese government. And like, while I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of like intelligence agencies, I do believe in independent security analysts. I will listen to what they have to say, and a lot of them are just like, hey, this is sketchy. And we can talk about the vulnerability of like the former iOS and TikTok, where it could read your files before they were able to patch it. And that, nothing sketchy about that. That's why I don't trust TikTok. But this is why I feel like it's newsworthy, is that, you know, Trump wants to ban it now, and he's banning it. Like, I don't even think he knew what the fuck TikTok was until after the Tulsa rally. I really don't. And he's now citing national security's concerns. And like, I think if the Tulsa rally never happened and it wasn't like a big own to him and a big embarrassment, that like TikTok, people would still be posting TikToks today.
Oh, for sure. And this was even after, the Tulsa rally was even after multiple Republican fucking senators and House members too, I think, throwing a fucking hissy fit about TikTok, and like you said, with the security issues with the link to the Chinese government. I mean, all of that stuff is legit. I looked into it too. There's a lot of, you know,
there's a lot of shady practices. Say,
experts are saying there's some shady shit here. There's a lot of backdoors and whatever. So that's all legitimate and fine. So, but you know, because it's China, China's big, bad, and scary, and the Republicans need that as an enemy. So they were like, "Hey, let's ban TikTok from, military bases and you know, military provided phones and stuff." Which, okay, fine, that's fair enough. And Trump didn't even bother to comment on that. Maybe he did once or twice, but he didn't make a big deal out of it. Like, oh, let's just ban it from America.
Yeah,
this is like the hilarious fucking juxtaposition between like global neoliberalism, which the entire world is like based off of right now, and this weird resurgence of nationalism across the world, but especially in America right now. We're seeing that, and how that interaction is interfering with the you know, neoliberalist global capitalist agenda of just resource extraction, essentially. And these two are fundamentally at odds with each other because nationalism puts up borders where neoliberalism wants no borders. It just wants absolute control over everything. So it's just interesting to see him, Trump, you know, double, triple, quadruple down on the nationalism bit because that's what his base is. He has to do that to appeal to them.
I think if you really want to use TikTok, there are ways. As of now, I'm pretty sure a VPN will get you by just fine. If you want suggestions for VPNs, hit me up on Twitter. I've used a lot of them. So, I have some good recommendations. Let's get into my favorite people of 2020. I've ranted about them before, but the Lincoln Project this week, released an ad about Russia and Trump being compromised. And this is what's so funny to me, is that the Lincoln Project themselves seem to be compromised. One of the founders, John Weaver, is registered as a Russian lobbying agent, where he's able to do deals with Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, and he had ties to 10X. And do you remember 10X at all?
Not specifically. Was that the Hillary Clinton uranium thing?
It is. It is. 10X had a connection with the Uranium One controversy, the same controversy that Republicans like John Weaver pointed out of why she was corrupt for years, even before like 2015 when she was gearing up to run for president in 2016. So funny how that works out. Another one, Rick Wilson. Rick Wilson's my favorite of all of them because he's Islamophobic, homophobic, and just an all-around awful person. Yeah, all phobias. He's run some of the worst campaign ads that are just like absolutely despicable and distasteful. And before Donald Trump, and he became this big anti-Trumper, he owed lots of money. His house had a lien on it where he was about to lose it. His house was about to be foreclosed on. He was sued by the credit card company American Express. Yeah. And then he became this anti-Trumper, and he wrote an anti-Trump book, which, you know, all the resistance and liberals just fucking gobbled it up like they always do. And he's not really in much in debt anymore. Funny how that worked.
Go figure.
And another one, George Conway, is literally sleeping with enemy. And I mean that literally. He's married to Kellyanne Conway, who works for Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
So,
Jesus.
You have three people that are clearly compromised on this. Even the National Review, and I hate the National Review, even they are saying that the Lincoln Project is a bunch of grifters. And they are. They're fucking grifters. And this is the thing, is like that, like the Colbert thing where they talked about the expenditures of the Lincoln Project, they didn't make any fucking sense. And Rick Wilson says, oh, we're going to release the next quarter of them and they'll make more sense, where it shows that we're not buying fucking lavish offices, renting lavish cars, and living in like super nice hotels while we travel around, you know, fapping everybody off to listen to us. And like, they get donations from liberals. Like, liberals aren't even donating to their fucking candidates of choice. They're not donating to Joe Biden. They're donating to the fucking Lincoln Project. Like, I'm sure that maybe they are donating to Joe Biden, but you know what they donate to? To a fucking Senate candidate in, like, you know, purplish state. They could donate to somebody, the person that's going against Susan Collins, which, by the way, did you know Republicans think Susan Collins is safe now?
No.
Yeah, they think Susan Collins is safe now. That shows you how fucking inept the fucking Democrats are. They can't even possibly take down Susan fucking Collins.
God, man. That's for, you know, the more I fucking like hear about this kind of stuff, the more I think to myself, you know, maybe I should just do like one of these book deals, make a couple, you know, cool million and just get out of the game and do something productive with that money.
It's ridiculous to me that people retweet them. I've gotten to the point where, like, if I see people retweeting them, like, that follow me or I somehow follow, I just fucking block them. That's how fucking disgusting the Leica project makes me.
Yeah, it's like the last grasp of fucking conservatism, like old school conservatism.
Yeah, it's dead. They couldn't even save their own party, and the Democrats think they're going to save theirs. No, they're going to take it over.
It's so dead. Right-wing populism it's just killed it.
Yeah.
They're just trying to cling on to the fucking life support machine.
Yeah.
Right now. Shit. Speaking of life support, Jeffrey Epstein certainly didn't get that shit.
No, he didn't.
And we got some news about Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes. Some unsealed documents. Sorry, not trying to hog everything. I know I've been ranting for like 15 minutes now.
I didn't hear him here.
But some unsealed documents happened this week, and they revealed that Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz traveled to the island, Jeffrey Epstein's island in off of St. James. And the unsealed documents also talked about continuous orgies happening on the island and young women being coerced into having sex with powerful men. And then I saw this right before we were about to start the show, and I'm going to read you something from The Independent about Maxwell.
This is how Donald Trump...
shit, sorry. But Maxwell had sex with girls as young as 15 and trained victims as sex slaves in newly unsealed documents. So we're only getting just the top of the iceberg right here.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah. Maxwell had orgies with girls as young as 15 on the private Caribbean island owned by convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and trained one of her alleged victims as a sex slave. Newly unsealed court documents claim. And it's just like, this is what the victim said. There were blondes, there were brunettes, there were redheads. They were all beautiful girls. I would say the ages range 15 to 21. These were the people that were going to the island. 15 to 21. And this is another interesting part. Where did Maxwell find this girl? These documents came from Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
Of course.
That's where they found her.
Yeah. And shit, I actually read about this a little bit a while ago. There were also connections from Victoria's Secret models.
Yeah, Wexler. Wexler was the one that started where it all kind of started, where Jeffrey Epstein started rolling in the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, fucked. And apparently this is like a massive amount of documents that were released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to keep on coming.
It is. And here's the thing that fucking cracks me up the most about all of it is... So when the boomers fucking released these documents, they didn't do it properly. So they were supposed to redact a lot of information. I don't know if you saw this, but they were supposed to redact a lot of the information. You know, how they decided to redact it was to go into Word and use the black highlighter tool. So all you have to do is open the original documents, hit Control A, Control C, go to a notepad and Control V, and boom, no more redacted fucking shit. So all of this is just out in the open now. Yep. And there's like thousands, I think, of pages of the... So we're going to get everything.
Yeah, we're going to get everything.
We're going to get past the redacted shit.
Yeah.
Just like, it cracks me up because these people don't understand technology. They don't understand how to fucking keep shit you know, secure and operational security. They don't
know.
It's a combination they don't know and a combination they just don't give a fuck.
No, they don't give a fuck.
That was what cracked me up the fucking most when I looked into this stuff.
It's just like, you can't make this shit up anymore. It's just like,
you can't. There's so many leaks coming out. This stuff, you've got the blue leaks, which we've discovered some interesting stuff about. I feel like I saw a couple of others, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. It's just so much shit is happening, and we're learning so much in 2020. It's just, this is like going to be one of the years that goes down in history, like for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It's insane. It's blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's all I've got. That's, I didn't, all I got. Really go into QAnon land.
No, we got plenty of time. They're constantly evolving.
They're evolving, and I don't know. I just kind of needed a break, and I had a bunch of other stuff going on at the same time. So it's just kind of, you know, we're not missing out on too much other than some, you know, good comedy gold bits. But yeah.
I'm sure they'll have something next week, especially with all the stuff coming out with Epstein and Maxwell. I'm sure that they'll be finding some way to interconnect that.
Oh, absolutely. I am looking forward to seeing, maybe this is part of the Jewish space invasion plot that they believe in, you know?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, if you like what you hear, subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice, American Shakedown. Visit our website, AmericanShakedown.com. We're on Twitch now. So, American Shakedown on Twitch. Follow us. I'm on there ranting by myself sometimes. So, yeah. That's all I got. You got anything?
I don't. But check us out on Twitter. You've changed your user. I think you're still Seriously Berserk.
I'm always Seriously Berserk. I changed my user on Twitch to match my Twitter.
Okay.
It made sense.
Yeah. So he's Seriously Berserk. I am Ghost Lobster. And of course, check out American Shakedown Twitter as well. And yeah, thanks for tuning in, and have a good weekend and rest of the week.
Yeah, have a good night. See ya.